What do you think are the biggest mistakes people make that prevent all this from happening? Especially newcomers, what are the biggest mistakes you see people make?
I think one of the biggest is debt, because it's too easy to get. You just arrive and open a bank account, and the next day you have a credit card. Then you start to feel like, okay, I have more money. And then after line credit and everything and mortgage, and you don't understand how debt works for create more money, then you are part of the system that is really difficult to escape after, because you are now a slave of the system, because you need your job, because you have a lot of responsibilities, your lifestyle is high, then you need that work, that job, then you are a slave in the rat race.
Welcome back to the Newcomers Podcast, people, where I explore what it means to be an immigrant with immigrants like myself. Today, I'm talking to Maria Camila Gonzalez, who runs Finanzo. She runs it with one, and they've trained about 100,000 people in financial literacy. But I think what I'm most honored about is that I'm the first English podcast she's on. So I'm like, yay! I feel so honored. Thank you. Like, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm too excited, I'm too nervous too, and yeah, well, I need to improve my English, but thank you. It's an honor for myself.
No, I think everyone's improving their English. I think everyone is always just trying to improve English, even me, and I know this is not what we're talking about today. We're talking financial literacy and all that, but I find this interesting because no matter who you are, like, I grew up in Nigeria, we speak primarily English in Nigeria, mm-hmm. but when you come here, You have to relearn a bit, because the way things are said back home are not the way things are said here, you know. So you kind of have to, but again, it's much easier for me probably than someone who probably speaks another language and has to kind of translate it to English, or maybe for Spanish to English, I can imagine. Because all your content is in Spanish, right?
Everything, yeah. And our community and everything is in Spanish, and we are not a lot in contact with English here in Canada. Doesn't matter if we are here, but yeah. Of course we have partnerships and things, but our community, our teachings are in Spanish, then yeah.
Now that we're talking community, I when I first came across the website, what I was thinking about was, why did you all start this? Like, how did you get to that point? Like, what led to this? Was it personal? Was it stories you heard? Were you thinking of this before you moved to Canada? Like, how did you get to saying, I want to launch Finanzo? Like, how did that start?
Yeah. Well, actually, we started in Colombia with our community, because it was some years ago in Colombia with our community there that have same financial issues and don't understand how the system works and how mm-hmm. they can improve the finances. Then it was our need to connect investment and all this financial literacy with psychology that matched pretty good. But when we arrived here to Canada, we noticed that newcomers and actually our community that is Latino community that speaks Spanish, actually they don't feel comfortable in finance, but if it's in English, it's like more difficult, you know, because it's like a financial language.
Yeah.
Then it was like that feeling that actually we had when we arrived here, that is how this system works. It's too mm-hmm. fast. It's too easy to get debt. It's you're slave easily. Then how people can understand the way the good foundation, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, to be mm-hmm. safe and save money and have investment at the same time and change the relationship and the mindset with money, because here you don't need to survive, you need to grow. Then it was mm-hmm. like a big opportunity for us and for them. Then yeah, it was like our experience, and after we teach same things that we are living.
Yeah, that's you know, you're saying a lot of important things, which is, or really interesting things rather, which is that thing you talk about, the mindset, like you need to, you don't just need to survive, you need to grow, you know. And I think there's something you all say on your website, which is toxic inherited patterns around money, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And that's not a language that you typically hear from financial advisors. Everyone just says, oh, you know, run a credit card this way, do this way. Like, and I don't know if that's good or that's bad, but like, I like that because literally you're going back to the real, like where it starts. Like, is what I, because I feel like we don't think enough about the inherited patterns we've gotten from our parents, mm-hmm. about a lot of the things we do, except when we crash, then we have time to reflect, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the question here really is two questions more, like, what's the toxic pattern you think you brought back from Colombia to Canada? And how did you, mm-hmm. like, how did you unlearn that? You know, mm-hmm. That's the first question. And the second layer to that question is, and I know this is Colombians mostly, or mostly Latinos, and I can, but I'll assume that because I always say that Latinos and Africans kind of do, we're similar in some ways, is, but also, what are the toxic patterns you see Latinos come with here? Like, that affect how they approach money, how they save money, getting easily into debt. Like, what are those things? So it's like two questions. You first, and how you have to unlearn it, and then your community in general.
Absolutely. Well, that's maybe the most important and different thing that we have in financial, because I'm a psychologist. I have that background.
Very interesting.
Then I'm always curious about the behavior of people with everything, but with money is too interesting.
Yeah.
Then financial advisors or technique, you can do and you can know everything about investment, about saving. You know that you have to save monthly part of your salary and your income, mm-hmm. and all of this. But why you're doing, why you have same consumption behavior, why you still feeling that patterns, then it's something pretty interesting, because it's your personal background with money, your story from your child and from your adult, then now you have all this story that you're doing a lot of things and you have this relationship with money, and you do again and again when you are young because you want to, I don't know, show something for others, but after when you are adult because you are competing with people, mm-hmm. or maybe in your work or in your job, or all the time you have same patterns in your personal. But after you notice that your parents or people who grow with you shows you how you behave with money, mm-hmm. then maybe they are savers, or they spend a lot, or they never care about money. Then some people that say, no, money is not too important and it's not the most important. And if you think like this, of course, you have a mess. Then you notice that it's the same. And after you say, I don't want to be like my mother that is spending a lot, but you notice that you have the same in your life. And this is the family pattern that is there. And when you are a child, you have unconscious understanding about everything. Then yes. It's not teaching, but you're learning all the time what you do with everything, you behave with everything. Mm-hmm. Then this is the pattern that you learn. But after, we have the cultural pattern that is colonization in our countries. It's like we are feeling like we are less than other countries because we are poor countries. Mm-hmm. Then you are not good like other cultures, other people from different countries. Then when you arrive to Canada, of course you feel it. You feel that imposter syndrome.
Yes.
That is like, yes. Same. My English is not enough. My knowledge is not enough. My bachelor, my status is nothing here. Then all this is in your mindset. And when you start here in Canada with this mindset, of course you have same result. Then you find maybe a survival job because it's in your mindset that you don't deserve anything else, just that to start. And you are all the time in this fight inside, feeling like I'm not enough, I'm not enough food, I'm not enough, I'm not deserve wealth, for example. This is for others, but not for me, because you know I'm from Colombia, I'm from Africa, I'm from wherever. It's inconscient. You are not thinking about it, you are just living in that way. Then when you notice all of this and you start to be conscious and you start to work with this, you can change what you're doing right now and taking the control of your finances in different ways, not just saving, not just like a basic technique. It's more about feeling.
Yeah. Like, damn, like it feels like that trigger you almost don't see, right? Like, it's just there, like, it happens. Because I suspect that, because I'm even just using myself as an example, there's even just cognitive dissonance with you, which is that you're, if they asked you, you would say that you want to be wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But your behavior isn't exactly showing like you want to be wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the layer there I want to explore is there anything that triggers you that gets you out of it or that lets you know that you need help? Like, do you think there's any way you know that you need help, or do you always need someone to guide you and let you see those things? Because it almost feels like a crash only thing. Like, you have to kind of crash to mm-hmm. see it. And most people, human beings, don't like to crash. We don't like pain. We don't like to mm-hmm. change things. And we want smooth changes. And life, I'm learning that life is not mm-hmm. smooth. There's nothing like you transition from point A to point B and there'll be no pain or it's always pain. So mm-hmm. I feel like because we're avoiding that, we stay in this loop you're talking about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But just from your experience, like, how does one even just start to even know that they need someone to kind of help them crash mm-hmm. that former boss and enter a new boss, for lack of a better analogy?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe you have part of the understanding that something is wrong because you notice that maybe you don't advance enough, or you're looking your life like, I'm always in the same loop again and again with this. I don't want to feel like this, and it's uncomfortable inside. And I think, like, when you're ready and this is enough difficult or uncomfortable, and after you find person who enlighten you and show you, because maybe you are all the time feeling guilty, why I'm doing like this, why mm-hmm. again I do same, why I spend all my income, why, then you are, you know, like, punish yourself,
yeah.
Yourself. But when you find an understanding, when you are in there as a therapy, then you say, like, okay, this is a deep reason that I'm doing. It's like I have to work inside. It's not it's not outside. It's not external. Yeah. It's not just with money. It's with everything, because money is just one result more. But maybe you have same relationship with your partner and with your family, with your kids, with your time, that you are scarcity. Because trauma, I'm studying right now the financial trauma. And, you know, it's in everything. It's not just finance. It's everything. It shows in different ways. And after you notice, like, okay, if I really want to change my life, to get more money, to be rich, to be stable in this country or whatever that you want, you understand that you don't need to work just and find a new job, because it's not enough. It's not the solution that maybe you will find, but it's more than this. And when you understand that, it's like a wow, like a big light.
Damn.
Enlightened.
Damn. Like, you know, two things I want to just kind of say before I ask the next question, which is, it feels like a lot of financial work is actually therapy, not most of the things we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Not the practical, not the tactical things. Like, a lot of the work is inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Second thing, that this thing is scary as hell. It's pretty scary because I think about my life and I'm thinking about some loops that I find myself in, and I'm like, I know that feeling you're talking about, which is like you're saying, this has happened to me before. Why am I doing it again? Like, why did I learn from the first time? Why am I in this loop again? Why did I make this mistake? How did I make this mistake and not know when I was making this mistake? You know, but I knew it was a mistake. But then I find myself going through the consequence of the mistake. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why did you do this yourself? Like, the question I want to ask you here, right, is, and I know this was supposed to ask this later on, but I really don't get to it already, which is, if you think about because being an immigrant, the immigrant culture itself is a different madness entirely. Like, there's a lot of thing going on with being an immigrant, trying to settle in, trying to get a job, and then Canada has its own unique nature of just being Canada.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect all this trauma that people are going through? And how does, I assume it makes it much harder than it should. And how do you help people come out of that? Because I can imagine that, you know, you already have financial trauma. You probably already have financial patterns you brought from back home. And then you come here and then you're trying to settle into Canada and things are just harder, much more harder than you expect it to be. And then when you combine the two things together, it's just worse off, right? Like, how do you get out of that? Like, how do you find your way out? I'm asking myself too, honestly.
Yeah, well, my God, that's a really good question. I think both parts, the internal work and individual work, that is when you discover all of this, the first step is recognizing that something is wrong inside and start to looking for the origin of that. Then this is the first part that maybe people is missing because it's hard. And of course, you are always avoiding pain. Then in this case, it's going through the pain, you know? We have to go there. We have to discover what is there, what's happening with your mom, with your grandma, with all your study. We discover what is in your culture. And usually when people change country or the immigrants that change the country, this is a big jump, you know, like I don't want to follow this story. For that reason, maybe I will change all my background, all everything. I will start with a new context, new language, new people. I don't know anything. I just have my two bags or one bag and that's it. Then I trust myself in any way that I'm capable to do it. Then this is like a first win that you have to work with, this energy that moves you to one place to other place. This is the first work that you have to do. And the second thing is community is so important, because when you are with people that have same mindset and everyone is growing and you start to know, okay, but if he can, I can. Because if it's, for example, in our case, we open our company when we arrive here and it was challenging, but we always know that we want to do it and we don't want to find a job because we trust in our project. We know how successful it was in our country. Then we know that we can help here. Then it was the mindset of entrepreneur and business owner, you know, like this is our goal and this is what we are doing and this is what we are putting our effort. Then if you are with people who trust and start to notice differences, then, oh, finally, he is an investor. He's doing a big change. He get a better job. He is saving more money. Then everyone feels like, okay, I can do it too. Because it's just difference. Maybe they arrived some years before, or maybe it's like same age. Then it's like trust and confidence that you get with the community. And when the people who is close to you, this is the proximity rule, maybe you know that, is people who is pretty close, your friends, your family, your partner, helps you to improve. Then you start to feel like, okay, I deserve more. I can be a millionaire. All our community can do it. Why not? Right now, for example, we are talking about investing in multifamilies. This is sophisticated investment. For maybe people from here, it's a common thing, but not for us as immigrants. Yeah. Maybe just find or buy your home, your first home. But we are thinking as investors. And we say, okay, why you want to buy a single property if you want to buy a building? Why? With the same money, but it's an investor mindset. Then if you are in a community that is talking about this, your mindset open and you start to feel different and you start to broke that pattern and find new habits that change your life.
Oh gosh. You know, this thing, and I'm kind of moving on to something else a bit in a way, which is a big part of what you're talking about here is those, I call them, or what I'm taking from that is I call they're like invisible things that shape how we see and interact with money. You know, as people say, save money, do this, do that, do that. But there's a ton of other things that are just happening in the background that we don't see. And in Latin America, I think it's the same thing with back home in Africa. Like, we're very big on family support, remitting money, you know, collective financial responsibility. So, like, ask a friend to borrow you money, you know, just all those things. That's a very far cry from most times how financial responsibility is seen here in Canada or in the West. And I don't know if there's anyone, I don't know if it's good or bad. I just think that they're just two different cultures of how to approach money. And so maybe, but when a newcomer just comes in and is going through all these things you talked about, do you think that our cultural nuance with finances, does it help or is it a barrier to building like financial stability? When you move here, do you think it helps or it makes it harder?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a huge topic because this exists some research about how not just Latin American, it's just like cultures that support families in their native countries. That is too interesting. Why? Because two things. Your maybe family, that is your father, mother, and your kids, and your child, your nuclear family, is like you, your finance, your parents, and your kids. Three levels. You can support of some of them, but if it's for a long time, you will risk yourself. Then how it works? Because you have your family. If you have to support them, it's because they can't support by themselves. Yes. Because maybe when you are a kid and after you are in the university and after you are an adult, if your family continues supporting you, you don't learn how to make money because you have the family support. Then this is too long time. Then if you are supporting your kids for a long period and they don't understand how money is there's the game of money, how it works, then you will sacrifice that all that money for your retirement plan. Retirement plan, yes? Then you have to cover yourself for the vulnerability years when you are old. But you can't because you have your kids. But your kids are young, perfect. They understand technology. They have all skills to get and do a lot of money. But you're still supporting them. Then you are risking yourself. Then if you do this for a long period, what's happening with this? That after they have to care yourself because you don't have enough for your retirement plan. Then they don't know how to make money. This is a big problem because they don't know. They don't know enough because you never give that responsibility. And at the same time, you are old and you don't have enough money to, you know, to care yourself. Then this is too difficult. It's really hard. And when we explain is you can help your family, your parents, your friends, your kids, but not risking or like this without cover yourself. Because if you are not stable, both full, you know, then you have to try first to be stable and have enough for you, your family, your kids. And after, you can help family. Because if not, it's too difficult. And after, some people help more than is necessary because just sending money and that people there in their country is not doing anything, just giving money. And it's not the way that money increase and grow. It's not that mindset. It's just taking money. It's dangerous. Dangerous strategy.
Because like how do you now balance the mental part of it? Because that mental, I mean, it's easier said than done.
Yeah, of course.
And it kind of goes back to what you said earlier about culture and patterns and things that have been ingrained in us right from time, which is, oh, you have to take care of your parents or your uncles or, you know, all those kind of things. Because what I hear you say, like, so in Nigeria, we call it black tax, which is basically like there's a tax you're paying back home, no matter how much you make. And so, but when you say, no, I want to build myself, you're making a choice not to do that. Like, you're making a choice to say, I don't want to, like, I want to first get stable so that I can be able to help.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the mental battle is actually worse. What happens inside your head is actually really painful. And how do you deal with that? Like, do you have any tips for dealing with that? The guilt. And the guilt is not just from the one happening to you, but the one happening when your mom, for example, calls you and says, like, I need money for X. And you're like, I don't have. But you know you can send it. But you're like, I have to put this money in this investment. Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, of course. Well, change is progressive, you know. It's not like when like people that. Come, it's not like, okay, from now you will save 10-20% just for investment, and after you stop to do this. It's not like this, because it's like a restrictive diet that never works. Same. Then you don't want to do something like this. Yeah, it's like, of course, it's not working, yeah? Because people don't change like one day and at the other day, then it's progressive. Maybe first is a budgeting, that is understanding how much is safe and healthy that you help your family. And after, you need that money dates or money conversation, money talks that are pretty uncomfortable. But when people understand the long term, they support you, because it's different that I say, my mom, I can't help you right now because I'm doing my investment plan. This is horrible. And of course your mom feels like too selfish or whatever that shows and feels. But it's different if I explain, okay, mom, I'm doing an investment plan for both, for you and for me, because if I save more money now for these some years, and I will use the compound interest, and I'm growing this money, and I'm focusing this, in some years, I will help you better. Then now, it's not I don't help, but it's less, because we have a strategy in the long term. Then it's absolutely different, because maybe, for example, my mom now is 61. And we are talking about this. You will be old. It's like I don't have any brothers or sisters. Then I have to care my family. Then I say, okay, we will prepare a plan for that moment. Then we have to do these conversations and comfortable about debt, about saving, about investment, long term, 5 years, how long you think you will be alive. Because this is another thing that you never plan for, longevity. Then this kind of things have to appear. And when your family notice that you have a plan, it don't feel like rejecting your plan. It's supporting your plan because you have a plan. Then it's like something you progressive change.
It's still a hard conversation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a big one. It's a lot of things. Conscience about money. When people think about money, it's not basic. It's showing and mirroring yourself in different ways. Because as you are with money, you are with a lot of things. It's like reflecting.
Like that's a deep thing to think about. Because I feel like, which is why I really, like, I was so enthused when I read your work. Because I'm like, y'all are talking about the things no one talks about. Because when we talk about money a lot, we talk about, oh, save money. Okay, yes, I want to save money, but I'm not saving money. Why is that not happening? Like, why am I not saving? Why am I struggling to save money? Why am I making the same money mistakes every 2 years or every 3 years? You know? I think a big part of what you all teach is financially grounding yourself as you settle into Canada. Aside from the obvious reasons, why is that important?
Well, I think finance is power. Money is power. And you don't notice how powerful it is. Not just get more money, because doesn't matter how much you have, but it's how good you are. And when you feel that knowledge, I notice that people feel first more smart. Like I'm feeling intelligent with my money. That is a really nice
Interesting.
feeling. Like self-confidence and self-esteem, because I can trust myself with money. This is the first thing. And the second is the power that you feel when you are in control. Because a lot of people is feeling that I don't know where is my money. After 2 days that my boss paid me, I don't know where is my money. It's not control. I don't know where is it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just paying. I just pay bills. And it's like an automatic pilot that you are every day, every month. But when you take the control, that feeling of power, that doesn't matter if I have a lot or not, but it's my money, it's my finance, it's my life, it's like life control, you know? This feeling that, okay, now I decide what I want to do with this. Then it was myself involved. That's really powerful. That is not obvious. It's not for buy more things or make more decisions because money buy a lot of things. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's the feeling inside, the intrinsical motivation that gives you.
Yeah. I can imagine that. If you kind of building on that, like, what do you think are the biggest mistakes people make that prevent all this from happening? Especially newcomers. What are the biggest mistakes you see people make? Yeah. In Canada.
I think one of the biggest is debt, because it's too easy to get.
Gosh, tell me about that.
Yeah, just arrive and open a bank account, and the next day you have a credit card. Then you start to feel like, okay, I have more money. And then after line credit and everything and mortgage, and you don't understand how debt works for create more money. Then you are part of the system that is really difficult to escape after, because you are now a slave of the system, because you need your job, because you have a lot of responsibilities, your lifestyle is high, then you need that work, that job, then you're a slave in the rat race, you know, the concept of rat race, that you are running. Then this is the first, I think, that debt is a big thing, when big mistake, when you don't understand and you're using your credit card that is high interest. And yeah, like solving, and when you arrive, you have a lot of needs, and maybe you don't have enough money, then it's like a hand, but it's not a hand. then different ways, but you will like taking this as part of the solution, but it's not a good solution. Then after some months you feel that you can pay, then it's like challenging. This is the first steps that you don't understand the system and you go through the debt. I think it's a big mistake in newcomers and immigration.
And you're like, you're right. You know, I had this conversation with someone on the podcast last year. About this time last year, where he talked about how, so like you said, someone just arrives, you set up a bank account, and they give me a $2,000 credit card. Like, here you go. No income. Still, like, just $2,000. And then you're like, oh, I have $2,000. No, you don't have $2,000.
Yeah. This is the game. They are playing. If you don't understand the game, you are the player. You know, you're the game. You're the
you're the game mechanics. You're literally the one funding the game.
Yeah, and they're so happy when we start this project, because it's financial education. Everyone says like, be careful because banks attack you, and insurance and all these products and services that are getting money from the ignorance of people will attack you. Then we say, okay, we know that it happened, but did our purpose live? We don't stop our purpose and our teaching because we know how powerful it is. Doesn't matter that it happens. And of course it happens. But it was like, you are the perfect client for a bank if you don't understand anything. You are the best one for them. They want to keep you. Then they always offer you, call you. And you feel like, wow, he's so kind. He's so nice. He offered me 20 months more, you know, like less payment. And all these are usually pre-bet for your finance, but sounds like help, then it's that feeling that is helping me, but at the same time is killing me, but I don't know. Then when you understand, you are out. Sometimes, like neobanks are pretty good. Interest, less fees, no commissions, but people still feeling loyal with the bank. Why? This is strange for us, but yeah, it's like we behave because it's like something that you know.
Yeah, you know, humans like, we like trust and authority, and so we're used to that more often than not. So, you know, that is what we kind of deal with. So there's usually like a really painful gap for most newcomers between what they were back home. You know, financial stability, you had a good job, you knew what you were doing, you had social stability, you had cultural stability. There's a lot of things that we take for granted from the life we had before, and then we moved to Canada. And then their first few years, Canada has this unique issues. So a doctor comes here and he's driving an Uber while he's trying to get credentialed. An engineer comes here and he's working in Walmart, like, while he's trying to get, you know, just all those kind of things. Do you think that that professional financial reset, and that's a really brutal reset, sort of warps people's relationships? Like, it makes us a bit funny with money and takes us down this line where we make all these kind of mistakes and we start looking for some, I don't know, like, we just get into things that back home we probably wouldn't get into them. You know, do you think that plays a role? And is there a way to kind of help someone kind of navigate that process without falling into those traps?
I think affects a lot. And actually, if you understand that life cycle is like high and down again and again, it's like, if you understand that you arrived to Canada and in that period of time, you will sacrifice your lifestyle and your role and your status and your income and everything, because it's a period of time, it's okay, because you understand the timeline and the strategy in the long term. But the problem is if you start there and you forget that you can be here, because you feel like, no, I always find this is survival job and it's too difficult. Canada is difficult for newcomers. Canada. Then if you continue with this mindset that is reset, as you say, but at the same time, it's like a low vibing, you know, like feeling, and you forget that you are there to build something better than in your country. If you compare some years after, maybe most of us are better than in our countries, but of course in the beginning it's not like this. Yeah. And if you understand as a period, it's okay, but you need a really hard mindset to understand that you will grow and find the ways, because it's like a networking mindset every day, your self-esteem, working your visualization, all the time programming yourself for success. Doesn't matter what is happening here in that part of your life. Because you are here, but you have a strategy. It's not for always. It's just for have a stable. It's a new country, new everything, new language, new people. Okay, then it's part of, but it's not like my life. Because the problem is when you notice that people who is here for 10 years, 20 years, still feeling like don't advance a lot. Like, why? Maybe because you start there. And you go too slow and you start to notice and you start to create this mindset that is not the right one for help you to improve or grow. Then it's like the, big challenge, but it's more inside again, and mindset challenge that is external. Because people who have right goals and self-esteem is something pretty important, you know, like self-security and everything is like, going forward for that I'm here. The reason that I'm here is this one. Then I still following this. Doesn't matter what's happening around.
like it's, you know, it's interesting, like, because this is a pretty interesting way to look at financial literacy. Mm-hmm. And it's not one that is very popular. And I get why probably some of the banks don't like it. So, we're rounding up here. And probably have two questions that we'll probably go deeper depending on how you answer. But if someone comes to you today, a newcomer, or maybe they're a newcomer, it's been in Canada 2 years, 3 years, they're overwhelmed, they're ashamed of their financial situation, they're in debt. Like, what's the first piece of advice you give them and be like, hey, this is where you start from? Like, what's the first thing you say to them?
The first thing, maybe is to understanding the baseline, you know, like understanding in relationship with money and finance, how are you? How held are you? Then it's like this is the first step of control, that is understand how exactly are and the situation is. When you understand this, then it's okay. I'm feeling afraid about money. I'm feeling scary. I'm too ambitious. I learned this from my family here in Canada. I feel insecure. I don't feel enough. I'm feeling a problem with deserving more. Okay, you understand this, but actually in finance, you understand how much you have in debt, how much you pay in interest, how much you have in your country, how much are you sending to your family. If you have all this clarity, like a crystal clear, I think this is a really nice step, first step, because you understand where are you. And the second step is, where do you want to go, maybe 1 year, 5 years? And it's like, okay, we are here. Doesn't matter how it is, but now we know where are you. And now, okay, we can know where you go. And what is the next step? Because it's progressive. Okay, then I start to work in both ways. My relationship with money and my psychology and my financial habits and everything that I have to do, because you have to do things.
I like that framework, actually, because, yeah, you're like, I mean, I think you've talked about it a lot. But let's say, I'm building on this, let's say, so someone just landed in Toronto or Calgary tomorrow. They have maybe like $10,000. You know, or maybe they're with their proof of funds. They're starting a survival job, trying to figure out their life. You know, they just, it's all the thing that comes with stuff. What are the first three things you say to them? Your first 90 days, make sure you do 1, 2, 3. That kind of sets them up for success in Canada.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I think the first is the plan, you know, because it's not doing things like crazy, then you open an account, and after you ask for your credit card, and after find a job, and after, okay, wait, because this is part of a plan. You know, it's not like crazy doing things. Just wait, maybe 1 week, maybe 2 days, maybe 1 day, doesn't matter how much you need, but do a plan. Then what do you really want? What is the, for example, when we are working in productivity and habits and goals, we are setting just 3 or 5 goals. What you want in the first 1 year here in Canada, that is possible. Yeah. That is with that you have, doesn't matter. Then we will do a plan for this year with 3 or 5 goals. After that plan, that I say is the first, like a big wins, you know, like for example, the first thing that you need is job, maybe. Yeah. Or income, what you want, what you know, the abilities and what you need, and the a smart and easier way to get the better option in this. Then, for example, this is a big win. If you have a job, okay, you start the game. Now you have money for do all this plan. Yeah. Maybe the second one is, I don't know, like if you start with 10,000, maybe you need to save for emergency fund, because if something happened, if you don't find a job easier, or if you lose your job or all of this, you need to save money. How is possible then doing a plan for saving as possible? Yeah. And after, for example, community, networking, you know, like, what do you need? Because community here in Canada, I found our community, but actually some communities, because we are all, most of us immigrants, we are allowing or willing to help. Then maybe that people knows, but when you arrive, you still with this feeling that is selfish. I can do it and I know how to do it and I will do it. But it's easier if you ask, because someone have that solution that maybe you're looking for and you don't need to do the long way. Then this is things that you can do. But the first is a plan, because you follow your plan. Okay, first I need, all my focus is in my job. Okay, after that, don't go to the bank to open an account or open a debit card, credit card. Why you need it? Wait. Maybe there is any organization who helps you, who give you something to help you, bank, food bank, all of this. Wait. Different ways. Slow, but step by step. Then maybe first month, okay, could be like moving because you just arrived here. But okay, after you start to understand, you know, like advice and be close to people who is teaching these kind of things are pretty powerful. It's like step by step. In finance, we create this, that is financial survival kit. It's okay, when you arrive, just the first five steps. Okay, wait. This is the system. This is the account. This is debt. This is bank. You don't need this. Lifestyle. Because people is trying to keep the same style, lifestyle that when they arrive from their countries. And it's like, maybe no. Maybe you start in different way, but after you will get. But step by step. Plan. Plan. Following the plan.
Cause it, you know, like I'm stunned for words. Cause you know how, just thinking about people I know, some of the mistakes I've made and all that, you know, you just like, one of the biggest lessons you should learn here before you even land, probably, but again, I probably is harder. It's much easier when you're in the system. Is how does the system work from a money point of view and not a financial literacy point of view? Money. Because I think that when people talk about financials, they think a lot about things like investments and savings and stuff. But when you peel back and talk about money, the psychology of money, it allows you to look at it from a human point of view, because I think the biggest thing I find really interesting in all you've said here is that point you make about how you treat money is how you treat everything else. Like, that's something I want to go sit back and think about, because like, it sounds so simple, but it's so terrifying in itself, because you start to kind of understand some of the wrong mistakes. Like, because how you treat money, so is that how you treat your wife or your kids or your friends or your job or the things you make or the risk you take? Like, you know, that thing, like, that is terrifying, to be honest. Like, it shouldn't be, but to me, it's a terrifying realization, because it's like, okay, those are costly mistakes.
And maybe it's like a terrifying, but at the same time, it's empowering, because it's, if you notice, when you get money, we are talking about wealth. Usually, wealthy person is a person. It's not about how much money you have. It's about what is the person that you are when you get all that money. Because money is discipline. Same that beautiful body. If you are everyone, every day workout, you know that your body is changing. It's not about how you show yourself to others. It's about the person that you are when you are building your body. It's same, the person that you are when you're building your wealth, because it pushes you to be better version of yourself in any ways. Then it's like, nice. It's not just money. It's like a nice person, the best version of yourself that have more money, but better relationships with your body, with yourself, more confident, more conscious about what you're doing, more in control, more powerful, then it's like, okay, if my mirror now with money or everything is not the best that I can be, okay, I still alive. I can do changes and start to feel like I want, because it's mirroring. Then, okay, I see myself in that way. This income that I have is that I deserve now. It's like it is. Money that you have in your account is that you deserve and you can handle, because you show that you have that ability to hold or handle that money. If you want more, it's not to get more, it's to be more, to get more.
I have a lot to think about.
Yeah, we have to.
I have a lot to think about in this conversation. But I think, again, I said this earlier, but I think you all have been something remarkable with Finanzo. I should say that one more time. Like, thank you for coming on the podcast. Like, thank you so much. But again, it's still like, I'm just thinking about all the things I've learned just talking to you, and all the things I want to go sit back and be like, okay, let's reflect on this and reflect on our lives and how we're doing. So, you know, but thank you for coming on the podcast. Like, this was really, really good. Thank you so much.
No, my gosh. Thank you, Dulce. It was an amazing experience. My first experience in a podcast in English. Thank you. Thank you for all these reflections, for questions that are really interesting. And at the same time, when you answer for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
When you are teaching first yourself. And it's like beautiful to be here and in a place for newcomers, for immigrants, for people that is new here in the maybe in financial literacy or financial idiom language. That is the first time that we talk about it, and just the beautiful opportunity to know that money is the result and reflect yourself in different ways. That's powerful, empowering. Powerful, and I hope that helps.
No, I think it's going to be very helpful. Like, I think it's going to be very helpful. Folks, like, I mean, like, you all have heard Maria, like, money is a here thing. Because I think we tend to talk about money as a bank account thing, but it's a here thing. It's inside, you know. As always, please, if you know someone we should talk to, or know someone who find this episode useful, and I think there'll be a lot of people finding it useful, please send to them. We're on Substack, YouTube, anywhere you get your podcast, you can get Maria's episode on there. Thank you so much, everyone. Cheers.